And welcome back to This Week in Channel 9. I'm Christina Warren, joined this week by Jason Young.
Hello.
Now, Jason, you might recognize if you follow Channel 9 from the MS Dev Show.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about what the MS Dev Show is before we get into the news.
Sure, yeah. So we're a podcast that is also published on Channel 9, so we do video as well. And basically, we cover anything that any, what we would call a Microsoft developer, would be interested in. So even if you just use one Microsoft product, so if you use even just VS Code or TypeScript, or even if you're doing JavaScript but you're using Windows, that's basically our audience. So we cater to developers and we just have a good time.
Awesome. Well, that sounds like the perfect sort of show for our audience. So mm-hmm. check that out, the MS Dev Show. All right. Obviously, the biggest news of the week is Windows 10 Fall Creators Update.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get right into that. There's a bunch of new features, and I'm really excited. I have it running on my Surface Book. I know you have it running on your Surface Book. It's been in previews for a long time. Tell me, what are some of your favorite features, both mm-hmm. as a user and as a developer?
Yeah, so I have an entire list here. The first thing that's kind of at the top of my list is the Linux support. So
yeah.
The Linux support has been in there for a while.
Yeah, I was going to say this is a couple years old now at this point, right? Like Bash mm-hmm. on Windows.
But it was really difficult to install before. You had to enable developer mode. You had to go do some stuff on the command line.
It was
So I would work with developers all the time and they say, well, that's amazing. Like I would actually have people switch from the Mac over to the PC just for the command line, for the Linux subsystem for Windows. And but then they would say, how do you install this? And it was a long list of instructions. Now with the Fall Creators Update, you go to the store and you hit download. And there's all the different distributions. If you want Ubuntu or Fedora, you just click install and you're up and running. So
awesome.
It's way easier.
Okay, so Ubuntu and Fedora and other Linux distros yep. in the App Store. All right, what else do we have that you're excited
yep.
about?
So speaking of the App Store, so this was sort of a separate announcement, but I know it's part of the Fall Creators Update as well. So paint.net being actually in the Windows
yeah,
Store now.
So that's a big one.
The way that you used to install paint.net was, it reminded me of Indiana Jones, where you had to like dodge like spears and like a ball that was coming at you.
Yeah, because you had like all these like pop-ups and
fake downloads.
It's like,
yeah.
Is this a real download link? Is that yeah. the real download link? You never know.
Yeah, so that was the worst feature of paint.net. So now it's, for a limited time I know, it's $4.99 in the Windows Store. It is, that's like the best $5 you ever spend.
And like for those of us who have been like using it for years for free, mm-hmm. like give the developer,
yeah,
like
exactly.
give him a vote. And also like props
I feel bad
to him.
When I...
But I think as a developer, right, like it's really cool showing like a really like robust .NET app that mm-hmm. has been converted with UWP to like
yep.
come over into the Windows App Store, where a lot of people like the Windows Store, like people are like, oh, I don't know if I need to, I want to go through the bridge and go through the process to bring mm-hmm. my stuff over. But he did it. That's a great example.
Actually, a lot of people use paint.net as an example whenever, so the technology was originally called Centennial for bringing that over, and people would actually use that as kind of their demo. They'd say, oh, I'll show you in like 5 minutes how to convert over paint.net. So it's great actually seeing it in the store, and whenever you set up a new machine now, you can actually go into your list of apps that you've previously installed and just click install, and you're up and running. No more Indiana Jones.
No more Indiana Jones. All right, give me one more thing, and then we're going to go on to the next topic.
So the number one requested feature was actually the OneDrive files on demand.
Yeah.
So on user voice, by far, that was the most requested feature. So that's back. So that was in Windows 8. It got removed for some various usability reasons. It's back and it's better than ever. So basically, files that you haven't touched for a while, they will go off of your computer. They'll still be in the cloud in OneDrive. And then if you can still see it in Explorer, and when you click on it, it will download it and open it. It's an awesome feature.
And you don't have to pay double to get access to that feature.
No.
Okay.
It's just there, it's just automatic.
That was my shade for another service. But anyway, all right, going on. All right, what's up next, Jason?
Surface Book 2.
Yes.
So I'm just gonna throw this thing away. And basically everything is better about it.
Okay, so there are two models now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a 13-inch that still looks similar yep. to this one, and then there's a new 15-inch.
Exactly. So bigger, better, smaller bezel. It's got faster CPU and faster GPU, just faster everything across the board.
And there's some really cool things about the 15-inch that mm-hmm. you're excited about. What are those?
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of things. So I mentioned the GPU, so you can get up to an NVIDIA GTX 1060 GPU, which is pretty amazing. Better pen, better screen, better battery life, smaller bezel, there's support for the Surface Dial, and not a lot of people know this because they didn't make a big deal out of it, but there's actually support for Xbox controllers as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So although you can do that on the current Surface Book.
Yeah.
So that's cool, but that's really awesome. So those are going to be up for pre-order in November and available then, so I'm excited. Like, I don't know, I've only had this for like 4 months, but I'm with you. I kind of want to have an accident and be like, please, I need a new one.
Yeah.
No, they look really great. They look
yeah.
really good.
Yeah, just go to the store and check them out, because I mean, like, If you actually use one for a little bit, like, you understand what we're talking about. They're awesome devices.
They really are. So especially that 15-inch, 6 gigs of GPU, mm-hmm. You can do VR, you can edit lots mm-hmm. of stuff, very powerful.
Yep.
All right, next up, I want to give a shout out. As you guys are watching this, hopefully you will see this before it starts, but on Monday, October 25th, 2017, is the next Azure Open Dev conference, and it's going to be streamed live right here on Channel 9. If you do happen to miss it, you can check it out now. It'll be available on Channel 9. It's hosted by our very own Ashley McNamara, and it's basically a bunch of open source people in the DevOps community coming around to talk about cool tools and technologies that you can use. This is really cool. Check it out. Like I said, Monday, October 25th. If you miss it live, you can check it on demand right here on Channel 9. All right.
Awesome. The next thing I want to talk about was Visual Studio. So Visual Studio just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, the updates are coming so fast.
Yeah, I know. It feels like it's going way faster than it ever has before.
I haven't followed it as closely mm-hmm. as you have, but I don't ever remember getting point releases this quickly.
Yeah, and they're actually pretty significant. So there were basically two big releases. There was 15.4, so that's gone in as a release. And that has a couple features in it. One of the big ones being that you can now target EWP apps to the Fall Creators Update.
Awesome.
So a lot of devs are waiting for that feature. For .NET Core, you can now publish to the Docker Container Registry, which
very
is pretty
cool.
significant, because it's just automatic and it makes your life a lot easier. And then this one's really cool too, XAML Edit and Continue. So being able to edit your XAML and continue, like, that is life-changing whenever you're working on that code. And then in addition to 15.4 being released, every time they release a new point release, there's also a preview that comes out of the next one, and that's the one that I always like to check out. And you can install them side by side too.
Oh, you can?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So if you have any issues, you can always just drop back. It's not a problem. So in the 15.5 preview, there's some, like, game-changing features in there. One of them is historical debugging. So, you know, if you're stepping through your code, you can actually put it in reverse, and you can actually step backwards through your code, and it's basically like a time machine.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I've been waiting like 25 years for that. there's also live Azure debugging, so you can actually connect to your code running in Azure. And what it lets you do is, without messing with production, essentially take a snapshot and do that same debugging, either going into the future or even doing historical debugging on your local machine, but looking at, like, the production data, so you can actually see what's going on. Again, amazing tools that really showcase Visual Studio working with .NET, working with Azure, all of those things working together well. And it's just, you know, so much power that, like, no other platform has whenever you use all these things together.
Awesome.
The only other feature I'm going to mention there too is this is based off of an iPad app actually, but this functionality got built in now, where you can do you can use the Xamarin Live Player, Xamarin.
Oh yeah. I saw this on Twitter. Yeah, you can
So you can make changes to your code and to your user interface
and see the preview immediately
and see everything happen immediately, which, you know, if you're, like, designing UI, like, this loop of changing code, hitting F5, and, like, okay, wait, and then having the changes come up, this is a game changer, because it's just, you're completely coding, you can stay in the zone, your life will be much faster and much easier.
All right, so check those out. Visual mm-hmm. Studio 15.4 is out now, 15.5 mm-hmm. preview is also out now. All right. You had a lot of thoughts on this. So next story mm-hmm. is basically there's a BigQuery did an analysis of C# code on GitHub, mm-hmm. and it found some really interesting things. And I know you have some thoughts on this. So what are some of the high level things that you're interested in this story?
Yeah. So it was just kind of interesting. It was an analysis, you know, writing some SQL queries using the BigQuery functionality. So being able to just write some queries against this and give you back some interesting insights into C# projects on GitHub. So a couple things that I found were kind of interesting. Like, one of the fun things that we like to talk about as developers is this, like, tabs versus spaces debate.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Where do you sit on that?
Oh, you don't want me to say it, do you?
I do, actually.
I believe tabs are technically superior, but I use spaces because
That's what everyone else uses?
Because I want to fit in. Well, so in this experiment, basically looking at the... I'm just going to get hate mail, aren't I?
I'm a fan of tabs as well, so I mean, it is what it is.
So in this experiment, basically they ran a query and they showed that most C# code uses spaces, but spaces are the default in Visual Studio. They weren't always, by the way. That was some interesting trivia. They were actually tabs in the beginning, which is probably where I got my habits around tabs.
Interesting.
But they switched, so now spaces have gotten a lot more popular. There were some other interesting facts. I recommend checking them out in the show notes. But what was kind of interesting is just seeing, like, some of the most commonly thrown exceptions. So argument null exception and also argument exception won by a mile, which makes sense. because I know there's a lot of people that would love to see, you know, they wish that nulls weren't in .NET. So they are like one of the biggest causes of exceptions out there. So those were just some of the interesting insights that I saw in there. But I recommend, you really should read
the whole post. Mm-hmm. All right, sounds good. All right, next up, this actually I thought was really cool. We Brian and I, we miss you, Brian, although Jason's an excellent co-host. Hope you're enjoying Europe. we always talk about open source on the show, and this makes me really happy. Basically, Microsoft, Mozilla, Google, and the W3C and Samsung have all basically teamed up and said that all web documentation, which used to live in a bunch of places, so if you wanted to kind of get like the canonical view of what certain mm-hmm. things do in certain, you know, languages and stuff, it would be really difficult to kind of figure out where to go. And at this point, all those companies have worked together and have basically said that MDM, which is like Mozilla's developer library, has been a really good place. It's where mm-hmm. a lot of developers go to kind of see stuff, and that's going to be the de facto point. So starting now, basically a bunch of the pages on MSDN are going to start forwarding over to mm-hmm. MDN. I think this is really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like companies working together and kind of saying, let's have one repository where we continue to update stuff. And obviously things around TypeScript and stuff within, you know, our own technologies will continue to be on docs.microsoft.com, but mm-hmm. There's no point in kind of reinventing the wheel, and if everybody's on this other platform, we should contribute there.
Exactly, and I think this is just a indicator of the fact that it is a new Microsoft. Like yeah. we just want to play nice with everybody.
I love
right?
it.
Like why don't we just rise tides and like lift everybody's boat? You know what I mean?
It makes it better for everyone, because mm-hmm. that way, as a developer, like you don't have to remember a million different sites. You
exactly.
can just go one place. So that's really
exactly.
cool.
Exactly.
All right, this was from our friend Scott Hanselman. This is mm-hmm. just a quick thing to talk about, but basically he shows off how you can use a second laptop to extend your monitor with Windows 10 wireless displays. So if you've ever been in a situation, I mean, this isn't a common situation, but it might happen, maybe if you're at a conference or something like that, where you've got one laptop or you've got something else going on, you're like, all right, I need another display, mm-hmm. but you don't have access to another monitor, but you might have access to another laptop.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking, maybe I shouldn't throw this away.
I was going to say, but that's what you do, is you use this as your second display yep. for your new Surface Book, too.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
But you've used this before, this feature before, right?
Yeah, so I mean, this is basically Miracast, and if you think about how this works, I mean, the reality is Windows lets you project your display out to Miracast devices,
right.
And it also works as a target. So, I mean, this just happens to be like a little bit of a happy coincidence that it can be both a source and a target, and you can use it this way. But you can also, you know, project to things like Xbox, and you know, there's like a lot of different options. At one point, I had bought one of those dongles.
Yeah.
You could plug into an HDMI port, and I always said, first time I use it in a hotel, I'm gonna keep it there. So somewhere in a hotel, literally the first time I plugged it in, I left it there. So
that's another thing to think about too, is that, don't leave it in a hotel, but get one of those Miracast dongles,
yeah.
or even a Fire TV stick or something like that. And you can, mm-hmm. you know, project your
and maybe put like a flag on it or something so that you can
yeah,
see it.
Yeah, so that you remember that yeah. not to leave it. All right, so that's yeah. really cool. Check out that blog post from Scott. All right, yep. time for picks of the week. My pick of the week, I love this so much, is that Lego mm-hmm. Has a brand new set of Legos, which are always great. But this came actually from their Idea Center, which is like where fans like put up ideas for sets to be created. And basically it's the women of NASA, and they're creating, it's gonna be a real Lego set that includes Sally Ride, Mae Jameson, Margaret Hamilton, and Nancy Grace Roman. And it'll also- Katherine Johnson too. And there mm-hmm. will actually be a space shuttle model and the Hubble telescope too. So mm-hmm. I love this so much that they're actually doing this. The only bummer is originally there was like, they wanted to get the Hidden Figures characters included too. Mm-hmm. I think there are probably some rights issues with that, and they weren't able to do it. But yeah. I love this. This
have
is
you seen
really
that movie?
Cool. I have.
Oh my God, that was so good.
So good. Yeah, check out Hidden Figures if you haven't. But also,
yes.
I love, 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 love that Lego is doing this. What do you think?
Yeah, no, this is really cool. I mean, and it's neat that you know, this wasn't even like their idea.
No, I know, that's what I love about it, is it's coming from the community. And mm-hmm. they do this from sets from time to time, but this was one I think that was really important, especially
yeah.
we talk so much about STEM and encouraging, you know, women and girls to get involved in tech. But I think it's important to look back at the past and say, hey, we actually have some really mm-hmm. big pioneers whose stories, like Hidden Figures mm-hmm. shows, doesn't get told enough. And then
exactly.
this is the sort of thing that I think helps elevate that and say, actually, this isn't a new thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we can go back to having
yeah.
more inclusion.
I'm definitely buying a set of these, and then my kids, I mean, they can all work on these together,
yeah.
which I think is really cool. So.
I love it. So that's my
yeah,
pick of the week.
I love it. I love it.
What is your pick of the week?
So my pick of the week, I actually had this on my podcast, and I had such an overwhelming response. Everybody told me how much this changed their life. So basically my pick of the week, you know, so first I'll kind of frame the problem. So the problem that I think a lot of people have is you have kind of this work identity. So maybe you have a corporate account.
Yep.
And then you also have like maybe a live account or called a Microsoft account these days. And you have all these different ways of logging in. And what ends up happening is some sites that you go to, like if you try to log into like Office 365, it goes, oh, is this a school or work account?
Yes, it gets confused a lot. It's like, is this my work account or my personal account? Which one? You're like, no.
Wouldn't it be nice if that whole problem went away? So the way that you can solve this is actually you go into Chrome and there's this little feature at the top where it shows your name. If you click on that, you can set up multiple profiles. And I always thought profiles were for sharing a computer and they would work pretty well for that. But they actually have a completely different set of cookies. They can have different themes. So I set up separate Chrome profiles. I have one called Jason. I have one called Jason at work. And then I also have one called Jason Azure because I have a separate account for my Azure account. And what I'm able to do is I'm able to just select from that dropdown and it switches basically my login credentials, all my cookies. So when I navigate to Azure, and it's also set my homepage on that profile, I open up that profile and I am logged into Azure. And then if I want to access work resources, I just use that. So during the day when I'm at work, I actually use my work profile.
Right.
When I go home, I use my personal profile, keep separate history, again, separate cookies, separate everything. So you can have multiple personalities.
I love it. That's really cool. Firefox actually now has a similar feature. It doesn't separate all the cookies the same way, but it does let you have things in different instances, keeps your passwords and stuff similar.
Okay. Yeah, so Chrome does it really well. I mean, kudos to them for sure.
Awesome. So if you've ever run into Jason's problem, check that out. Do you have that written up anywhere?
I don't. Maybe I should.
You should. You should blog it. You should definitely blog it. That's my thing. All right. Well, that does it for this week of This Week in Channel 9. Jason, thank you for being my co-host.
Thanks for inviting me.
Check out his podcast, MS Dev Show.
Thank you.
All right.